In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning. The title of our meditation this morning is called, Why Does a Loving God Allow Natural Disasters? Such a hard question. And I can't promise you that I will give you any conclusive answers today, because it has been the struggle and the search of so many religions and denominations throughout so many different generations and centuries. And I don't think that anyone has yet concluded or has given conclusive proof of one way or the other. But at least what we can do this morning is to shed some light, at least to seek God's comfort in this time where the whole world around us is struggling with things like the Haiti earthquake. And if the death toll is about 50,000, approximately, as they say, they don't have an accurate count yet. But last night on CNN, they were saying this is about 0.5% of this country's population, which is equivalent to, let's say, if we were living in America, the entire city of San Francisco just disappearing in a matter of 15 seconds. The population of about 14 million, equivalent to the population of America. So this is how much devastation is happening there, lack of medical care, and so many other problems. Also, we have encountered persecution to different sects of people, Christians, Egypt, or somewhere else in the world. Tsunamis that came in the Far East that made about 250,000 disappear instantly. And it's a tough question. And I want to engage you in the question, and why does a loving God allow natural disasters? And also, you know, we can think about why God allow, you know, for bad things to happen to good people, and why does God allow us to go through trials and tribulations? Let us think about it. If we are working, and this week, as a matter of fact, I received so many emails and inquiries from so many different people and from our youth asking this same question. Their colleagues at work are asking them, non-believers, people are saying, well, all of these events that are happening in the world around us is making us lack in our faith or lose our faith. So if someone approaches us, before I start my discussion, I want to hear your feedback. If you are asked this question by a colleague, or even maybe you yourself are asking this question, why is it that a loving God would allow natural disasters and so many things that seem in our eyes to be happening in the world wrongly? Why would He allow it? Why wouldn't He intervene and make things all right, or why He would not prevent it to start with? I want to hear from you. Who's courageous enough to share with us? The first one is always the hardest, but then we get rolling. Were you asked about this question, or did you even think about it? Okay, Nagy will start us off, okay. It's worth it. It's written. Okay, it's written. Okay. Foretold. So God did give us a warning, a heads up, before it did happen. Okay, thank you. Other answers to this question. Okay, so He said that in the world you will have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Andrew is going to shed some light.
As a society, I'm not talking about as immediate, as a society, we're forsaking God, but we're taking the name God out of our rituals. So it's almost as if in good times we want nothing to do with God, but then in bad times we like break God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take the fear to God.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Thank you. So it has to be like a balanced view of living with God and experiencing Him first and then maybe looking at these natural disasters in some other way. Here.
Last week, we heard about 144,000 kids that died. And just for Christ to have been, I think if you have stopped them. I think our concept of death, that for us is sad or something, it is not the concept that it is in the overall picture, is really a major issue. It is just if you look at the life that it takes billions of years, and we believe that it is our life. In our life, there's just a little, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So what happened there, it is just not significant in the overall life of a person, considering that it is.
Yeah. So the concept that we are thinking of our life here as in transit to something that is much bigger, that is still to come. And we should be ready for that at any moment. Okay, how about this quiet side? Anyone would like to contribute to the discussion? Any idea? Were you ever asked? I'm sure you're going to be asked this week if you haven't been asked already. Why does God allow all this to happen? Anyone else? You want to have something to do? Okay. Definitely this subject is one of the hardest to talk about, because again, there isn't one conclusive answer that could be convincing to everyone. Yet, I would like to leave with you 10 points that we can think about as we are being approached by anyone to... maybe to shed some light or to give us some kind of comfort during this turbulent time in the world. First point is that believing in God's existence has to be apart from circumstances around us. I think the question itself is articulated in the wrong manner. We don't come up to God, to ourselves or to our creeds and say, if God exists, then why is such and such? We have to deal with the question separately from the circumstances. And we have to ask ourselves first, does God exist? I need to have a conclusive answer for myself. This might be the struggle of so many people around us, especially in a postmodern world that is not really believing or is trying to stay away from belief in God. And I have to struggle with this question first on my own. Does God exist? Is there enough proof around me of a universe that is done master peacefully with a master designer, and there is so much, you know, around us in the world that proves or shows us that there is definitely an intelligent designer somewhere in the world who exists, who still overlooks the world that we live in. So I have to find a comforting answer for myself first. I have to believe in God regardless of the good or what seems to be bad which is in the world. And then I have to ask myself, does this God who does exist, so I'm going to assume now that I have struggled with this issue of God's existence, and then I have to figure out, who is this God? Is this an evil God? Is he a God that just rejoices at people's suffering and pain? Or is he the provider of all comfort and love in the world? The Holy Bible tells us that God is love. And anyone who wants to be a part of God's kingdom has to show mercy and grace and love just like our God does. Therefore, I have to be confident in the words of the Holy Scripture that this God is a God of love. Therefore, now I'm starting to settle in my emotions and my feelings, believing that there is definitely a God. There is a creator to this universe and a sustainer to it. All of these wonderful things around us could not just have come by mere coincidence. And this God is indeed a loving God, because you and I have been created on His own image and likeness, and we have the ability to love one another and to love Him and to be in a relationship with Him. Thus we are going to say that indeed This God is a God of love and of mercy and of compassion and of grace. Therefore, the first one is that I have to believe in God regardless of the circumstances. Secondly, believing in this God is believing that He is the God of love and mercy and compassion apart from any actions that occur in the world around us. Number three, I need to understand that natural disasters are a part of God's creation to the world and are very essential to its existence and maintenance. Something like the earthquakes or the tsunamis are caused by a movement in the crust of the earth. And this is part of settling down, and this has existed for thousands or maybe millions of years, no one knows, and it's a part of the creation. Therefore, God did not cause this intentionally in order to make people suffer or die or pass away, but it is a part of the created nature. You and I enjoy so much nature, so we have to take the whole package of nature as God has set it for us. We cannot pick and choose. But we know that anything that God does, He will purposely do it for our own good. Many people are enjoying wearing jewelry. This is caused because of the mining and wearing diamond rings and all of these things. How did all these things occur? Again, it was through the movement of nature and how things cooked in the core of the earth. And this is how God designed it for us. So if we're going to enjoy this creation and nature, we have to understand that some of these natural, what we call disasters, are caused again because of God's master plan to the universe and how He set it up in motion. Number four, as Christians, we need to understand death. To the world around us, it is the greatest evil that could occur. People frown at death. But you and I look at death in a different perspective. As we were just saying, that our life here on earth is transient anyways. It is temporary. It will not last until eternity. At some point, you and I have to go and face our Creator. Whether it is sooner or later, all of us are seeking to have a better life, a more comfortable life, a longer life here on earth. But no one has defied death yet. No one has found a way to escape death. Whether we live 10 or 50 or 100 years or more, at one point, we have to face our Creator and give an account for what we have done here on earth. And that's why, as we heard, the Holy Scriptures speak to us about being prepared at all times. The Lord, His coming could come like a thief in the night. Unexpectedly, people are living, people are walking, eating, drinking, working, playing, and all of a sudden, they are called to be in that place and stand before the throne of the Holy Glory. So, while the world is speaking about death as a big disaster, yes, we definitely need to be compassionate and feel for the people's pains and suffering. And no one wishes that anyone will go through any kinds of pain and suffering. Yet, we have to be ready at all times, because the Holy Scriptures forewarned us, saying that the coming of the Lord will be like the thief in the night, in a moment when no one expects it, when it's least expected. Therefore, number four is a change of attitude toward death. And of course, we are human beings, we have emotions, we have to, go through the pain and the suffering that's happening in the world and feel for those who are going through it. And we're trying to alleviate this pain and suffering. But yet, at the same time, death is not the ultimate disaster. I think living away from God at any point in our lives is the ultimate disaster that we want to avoid. Therefore, number one, we said we have to believe in God's existence apart from the circumstances. Secondly, we have to discover and dig deeper into the knowledge of God and understanding that He is the God of love regardless of the actions that are happening in the world. So the question is not asked, if God is this, then why is that? No. We have to be confident first and experience Him through living the Holy Scriptures and living the Word of God. Then we understand how marvelous our God is. Number three, that natural disasters are a part of God's creation. Number four, we have to have a different understanding about the concept of death, knowing that this is the passage from this life into a much better life, which is still to come. Number five, when we look at the Holy Scriptures, we can say that natural disasters are a part of God's judgment due to sin at times. Because I know that there are some people who went on the TV or the media saying this is because of these people's sins, or trying to justify why this happened or that happened. We are not the judges. We cannot throw an ultimate judgment on these people saying, well, they have all been living in sin and God is just sending them a natural disaster so that they may wake up. No, God doesn't work like that. At times, God may cause, or we may interpret or see natural disasters as a cause of sin or because of the imminent coming of God's judgment, like what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when the whole city was burned, or what happened at the time of Noah when everyone died because of a flood. Again, these are all natural disasters. But we have to be very careful in this day and age how we want to label events in our surrounding. Because if we as individuals take the liberty to interpret these natural disasters as people living in sin and God just came and wiped everyone from the face of the earth, this could be a stumbling point to so many people. Yes, we can keep it in mind as a wake-up call to you and me, as a point of return. And indeed, like something after 9/11, we saw that so many people returned back to God and returned back to the church and starting to offer repentance. But unfortunately, when these repentances are not heartfelt, it lasts only for a short while and then we forget again and we go back to our way of living as previously. Therefore, if anything, it is you and I who need to take a message from these natural disasters. What is God trying to tell me? It doesn't have to be saying something to the whole world, even though the world might not be ready to hear these words. But maybe through these events, if it is due to God's judgment, or if it's due to my sin, I want to repent and I want to return back to God with my whole heart. So before we go out to the world telling them, you are sinners, you are perishing, you know, and this and that, this might be a discouraging message to them. We have to live the life of faith first and try to benefit from these disasters, and maybe these would be ways to bring us back to the God of heaven and earth. Number 6, we must acknowledge God's goodness for all the good that He does. And then, only then, we can look at these natural disasters and these events will not shake our faith. So as it was said earlier, that we need to acknowledge God for all His work. Why is it that only when something wrong happens or occurs, everyone wakes up and he says, why did God do this? As if we're only blaming Him for the things that occur. But if we are going to be honest in our faith, let us acknowledge God's goodness first. Let us honestly look at all the goodness that is happening in the world, in His creation, in the way that He is sustaining the universe, in the way that He takes care of every little detail. I mean, when you study the human body or any creation and how much detail God has put in every cell, this is amazing care, and we have to thank Him and we have to praise Him for all His handiwork. So therefore, number 6, we have to acknowledge God's goodness in totality. And the person who wants to blame God for a natural disaster better first thank Him for all His goodness. And through this eyeglasses, or through this way of looking at God, we will be able to extract His goodness and understand His goodness even in the turbulent times. Number 7, natural disasters are ways for the whole world to unite in doing good and serving one another rather than being alienated and thinking of oneself. Again, we are living in a very individualistic culture. And postmodernism has separated human beings from one another. Everyone is working to make as much money in such little time, to care for their own, to think of their future. Very individualistic society and culture that we have been a part of. But as soon as something like that happened, we're not saying that it happened so that people could unite, but an immediate reaction to it is how you see all of humanity throughout the whole world connecting and uniting and raising funds and thinking of all the people who have been distressed, how they could help people traveling. There is a unity between so many people throughout the world to do all the humanitarian work and to aid those people through who are going through this hard time. So again, it's a way of doing good and uniting together for the sake of all humanity. Number 8, natural disasters are times when everyone starts to think of his or her own destiny and how temporal is this world. There is usually so much awakening, spiritual awakening after these times. People are starting to think, maybe my life is not as secure as one time and I had thought it would be. Maybe God will call on me in a time when I'm not really paying attention. Therefore, I must wake up now. I must return back to God. I must open my Bible. I must start prayer. I must start to serve others and preach to others the word of God so they could have salvation and joy. Maybe it's time for me to return back to the church. So we start to see a whole type of awakening that is happening not only within our own community but throughout the world. And this again is one of the ways that we can benefit from such events that are happening around us. Number 9, as the scripture says in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work out for the good of those who love God. And it might not seem to be so. How is it possible that, you know, out of a great disaster, out of persecution that's happening in different parts of the world, that this could, God could change it? God doesn't desire to see people suffering, but He can make this suffering turn into something good to these particular people or to the rest of humanity. It's amazing how God works. And one of the stories, again, that was mentioned on CNN is a young woman from Arizona who was serving and helping out in Haiti. And again, Haiti, as you might know, is the poorest country in the entire Western Hemisphere. And so she was there as an aid worker before the earthquake hit, and the building she was in crumbled and it crashed her right leg, one of her legs, and she was rushed to the hospital in the States, and there they amputated her leg. And when she came out from the operation and knew that her leg had been amputated, they asked her, "How do you feel?" And she said, "I'm thankful to God that only one of my legs was amputated. I still have both hands. I have one leg, and I can't wait to go more to start serving the people again and to continue my missionary work there." To us, we are thinking and blaming God. How dare you inflict these wrongs and hardships on people? While the people themselves, God is able to provide them and give them a sense of peace, even in the midst of the trial and the tribulation. Sometimes we say, you know, blame God for everything that's happening in Africa and in the entire world. While the people themselves, when you go and visit them, yes, they are poor, but poor doesn't mean that they are not joyful, that they have nothing. And you go and when you go to serve these poor people in Africa, the hungry people, and you see how much joy and prayer there is in these places, your soul and your spirit is actually lifted up, and you see that God is still at work. Last night I watched also a bit of CNN, and Anderson was reporting from there, he stopped for a minute his report, and he said, "This sound that you hear in the background, it was some sound of drums and singing, is the sound of people who are taking vigil in a park, and they are praying and singing to God." And I was really happy to hear this on CNN, because it shows that in the midst of the tribulations and the suffering, people are still seeking comfort in God. So, I mean, it's not all that bad. God is still at work. He's still in control. He's still the Pantocrator. And in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, He is sending His people aid and comfort so that they could still seek Him with their whole heart. God is able to make all things work out for the good of the people who love Him. Finally, prayers are means to knowing God's will and not only our logic. This is a time to pray with a friend, to fully trust in God and to confess that He is still the ruler and the sustainer of the universe. My beloved, because again we are living such an academic world and we have all the respect for academia and all of these things, but academia is not the only way or manner that God has created us as humans. There is a deep yearning inside of our souls to see God and to find Him. Just like Saint Augustine said that we will always be lost in this world, yearning and seeking until we find the living God. Our souls are so thirsty without God. So there's a deep yearning and thirst inside all of us until we seek and find God. So prayers is one ideal way to see God in this particular time. When a friend or a colleague is going through a hardship, maybe we can sit down to pray with them and tell them it's going to be okay. Let us trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Therefore, let us not only trust in our own logic, in our own abilities to resolve problems and to find or figure out solutions for wrong things that are happening in the world. This is a time when we can acknowledge the presence of God and trust in Him and confess to Him that He is still Lord and Master. And this way, maybe through offering of our prayers, God could have mercy and compassion upon us and send us His grace at all times. This is with what we can all live. My beloved, as St. John Chrysostom says, that God will not tempt us with something that we cannot bear. Reflecting on 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is all in effect. The ability to bear these tribulations comes from God's grace, not from our own abilities or strengths, which we will obtain through asking Him and through praying to Him. God gives us patience and brings us speedy deliverance. In this way, the temptation becomes bearable. And also, the Epistle of James 4:14 says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Let us again come out of these natural events, or if you want to call them disasters, with many lessons that we can live by, that could transform and change our lives from this point forward. Let us not just be stuck with the blame game and thinking that God is this or that. Let us go back to the roots and figure out who God really is. He's the God of love and compassion and mercy, who still works. Let us confide in Him and trust in Him, that He is the only one who can grant us peace during this tribulous time. Again, our prayers are with all the victims of the earthquake and any other disaster around the world. And we will do whatever we can to help, God willing. But in the meantime, let us grow in our faith and in our confidence in our God. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.